From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of August, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about this morning's USDA reports, not only with Kurt Kimmel of AgMarket.net and the reaction of the trade, but also with University of Illinois agricultural economist Joe Jansen. And then as we close out our time together, we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics, and we'll do all of that on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture updated the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. Those numbers come out monthly and, of course, released the first crop production figures for crop and soybeans for the 2024 growing season. It put the corn yield at 183.1 bushels to the acre. That pushed ending stocks, despite lower acreage, to 2.073 billion bushels. It was down 24 million bushels. Cash price for the season at 420 now. Soybeans, a 53.2 bushel to the acre yield. Ending stocks grew by 125 million bushels at 560. Cash price for the season set at $10.80. In Chicago, futures reacted initially by everything going lower. However, corn finished 6.5 higher in the September at 383.25, and the December up 6.5 as well at 401.5. The March contract there up 6.5 cents at 419. Beans bounced off the losses. They finished down 17.5 at 971.25. Their low is 959.5. November down 16.5 cents with the low at $9.75.5 settlement price there. Again, 16.5 lower for the November at 986. Wheat futures in the December at 559.75 for the soft red down 6 cents. The hard red December down 5.75 at 548.25. Live cattle futures were off $1.12.5 for the day. Feeders 210 lower and lean hogs up 35 cents. Crude oil at $79.80 a barrel, about $3 higher on the day. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net in Normal, Illinois to discuss the marketplace. Hi, Kurt. Thank you very much. I think we ought to discuss the beer tent at the state fairgrounds instead of what USDA did today.
Those
are some big numbers, man.
Yeah. Well, first of all, down at state fair, I did find a good cheese curd spot just north of the grandstand, clear at the north end, just straight across from there. Boy, those rascals were good. So if you're down at state fair, that was the place to try some cheese curds that were very, very
Wisconsin
good.
Wisconsin cheese?
Yeah. And they had a nice bread.
Yeah. We did that.
Oh.
and then you go to Vos's for your corn dog. You can't miss that. That is a state fair. That's a state fair thing. That's also across from the grandstand. That's our best thing for the day, isn't it? I guess. I suppose.
Yeah.
Otherwise, those are some big numbers.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Let's tackle the beans. Of course, the acreage increase and the yield increase. 560 million bushel bean carryout. That's just huge. We've really not seen one of those numbers. You got to go back to the old Sparks and Forma days where they projected 500 million bushel bean carryouts, but that shrank over time. But no, but this is huge because basically we're winding down the production side of the equation. We're dialing it. Now, the overall demand picture, and we've got even an increase of demand by about 29 million bushels, and we still got a large, large number. Exports, they raised that, but Asia is just lackluster on their exports. So is this the biggest bean number? Might not be. So that's the concern right there is the soybean complex. The way the market closed, it kind of feels like, moves back above $10. Probably need to be opportunities. Will be opportunities maybe get some downside protection as we move forward. Yes, we still have the month of August to go through weather-wise. About the only thing to maybe weather-wise after that is an early frost freeze for the most part. But even U.S. numbers, you go to the world supply-demand balance sheet, we're looking at 134 million metric ton carryout. That was about 6 million metric tons above the trade guess there. So we've got ample supplies of beans here in the U.S. and supposedly around the world until we see what the South American crop brings there, Todd.
Run me through the corn numbers as you saw them.
Yep. It's got the planted acres down 800,000, harvest down 700,000 acres. Of course, you get rid of those lower producing acres. They increase the yield 2 bushels the acre up to 183 bushels to the acre. The bottom line was 2.073, like you mentioned earlier, is 24 million bushels less than last month. 2 million bushels is a lot, but that's not a burdensome amount. So that's why we saw the spread activity be fairly aggressive today, buying corn, selling beans throughout right after the report took place there. When you look at the bean production, corn production, I think most of the trade is going to be eager for a new opinion here on the 19th as we see the pro farmer Chip and his gang go across the Midwest here and kind of report what they see.
Yeah, we'll have them scheduled for Commodity Week. Brian will join us at the end of that so we can talk about those numbers. And we'll follow along all week next week as they make their way throughout the Midwest. What else are you watching in the marketplace? Of course, crop production or crop progress reports are due out this afternoon. And then there still remains an issue with the corn crop, particularly, and maybe some of the sun seeds in the Black Sea area.
Yeah, here in the U.S., we'll see what that conditions report shows. See, it'd be interesting to see if that southeast receives a little higher rating here after the rain went through there. They've been extremely dry. But also today on Illinois corn yield, 225 bushels to the acre. And Illinois soybean yield was right up there, too, over 66 bushel acre. So quite a bit of optimism there. The offsetting, and it might take some time, would be the Black Sea region. They've had some production concerns. I did not see the Russian wheat crop or some of these other crop updates. But, you know, if they continue to see those numbers slowly move lower in through here, that might help the wheat world supply demand balance sheet. But the problem is with those countries, they're going to discount it and continue to put it on the world market as long as they got those stocks to sell.
Hey, thanks much.
You bet. Take care, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Kirk Kimmel is with agmarket.net. A quick note for those of you interested in how automation, data utilization, and related demand pull from end users, food companies, and consumers are driving change in agriculture. You can join University of Illinois Extension this Thursday for its Farming for the Future Field Day, says Benepeg.
The event will demonstrate water and greenhouse gas monitoring, cover crop seeding via drone, and drone intervention at problem sites. The event will also demonstrate the potential of on-farm connectivity and potential integration with animals via fenceless grazing and forage management.
Breakfast and lunch are provided, but registration is required by the 13th of August, that's tomorrow. To learn more and register, visit go.illinois.edu/regentechday. The site again is go.illinois.edu/regen, that's short for regenerative, Regen Tech Day, all one word. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Agricultural economist Joe Jansen now joins us from the Farm Doc team to discuss this morning's USDA crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates. The two reports go hand in hand on developing the total supply in the United States. How did you see the reports when they came out as it was related to your expectations?
Yeah, I think we saw the USDA's yield estimates for corn and soybeans both higher and higher than the trade was anticipating. But the big sort of surprise to the market was this change in estimated acreage. Corn acreage backing off a little bit, soybean acres increasing. So overall, the effect on production when we kind of have this offsetting, you know, decrease in corn acres but an increase in yield kind of nets out. kind of was a wash. The market sort of basically said, yeah, that's about what we thought in terms of corn production. But really, the estimated U.S. soybean production with record yields around in various parts of the country, including here in Illinois, coupled with, you know, maybe a few more acres than we thought were out there, really kind of put a damper on soybean prices. The market down now about 22 cents as we record this.
Yeah, so the United States Department of Agriculture had the yield at 52 bushels to the acre. That was their projection, and now their estimate, relatively speaking, here in August, is for it to be 53.2 nationwide. That bumped up the ending stocks from 435 million, which most of the trade had taken to calling comfortable, to 560 million bushels for the carryout. By the time we get to the fall of next year, is that number burdensome?
I think so. I mean, we're seeing, you know, certainly that'll push us well above a 10% stocks to use ratio. It'll really kind of put us into a situation like, in the market is reflecting this, where like we had back in 2018-19 of, you know, pretty high U.S. soybean stocks, just kind of a burdensome situation where there's plenty of soybeans around to both fill both whatever domestic crush demand there is plus the demand in the export market.
In the $10.80 season's average cash price, do you think that's accurate?
I tend to see these numbers as kind of a lagging indicator. Those season average prices that USDA puts out in the WASDE report tend to lag the market. And both when prices are rising and prices are falling, prices have been falling. I think if farmers realize a 1080 average cash price for their marketings for this coming marketing year, I think they'd be pretty happy with that, given where the cash market is at right now as we move into harvest.
And tell me about some of the numbers as they are directly impacted into the corn market. For instance, cash price now at what, 420, and ending stocks at 2.073. That's down a little bit.
It's actually down. That's right. Because USDA dropped their planted acreage estimate from what was 91.5 million acres of corn down to 90.7, that really offset this increase in yield. We are going to see, by all estimates, a record U.S. corn crop nationwide this year, well above the previous record, which was a 176.6. The USDA is estimating now 183.1 for the national average corn yield. But with that, you know, decline in acreage, we're going to see production at about where it was last year. We do anticipate an increase in use, you know, this rebuilding cattle herd kind of eating up some of that big corn crop. Continued demand for ethanol and exports. That if that came to pass, we would see, you know, U.S. ending stocks down a little bit relative to where USDA had them in July, but that's still at a level that's, you know, pretty burdensome for the corn market. A 14% or so stocks to use ratio, that's going to kind of keep a lid on corn prices for the foreseeable future.
Then let's talk a little bit about corn yields statewide. We'll start that Illinois is number two in the nation. The number one is not a surprise. It generally tends to be Washington, and that is the case because all of their acreage, or I think almost all of it, is under irrigation. They're at 250. But rain-fed Illinois at 225 bushels to the acre. Iowa lags. It's at 209. That must be the flood earlier in the year, I suppose.
Yeah, I think there are pockets of Iowa with maybe, much lower, smaller corn crop than, you know, they could possibly produce. Most of Illinois looks really, really good. And that 225 number is a monster.
Yeah, I will point people back to Commodity Week last Thursday, recorded, where Arlen Suderman was our guest. Their numbers from StoneX had been questioned for Illinois. They were at 210. And I asked Arlen about that because Scott Irwin had done some numbers and said, no, I think it's 224. That was was last week as well. And Emerson Napsiger, I know I talked to the week before, and off the record, I'll make it on the record now. He was at 223 for Illinois. And then Arlen went through some numbers that had been prompted by Scott, and he came up with a 194. if August was super good in the whole of the United States for the highest high-end potential for this crop, do you think this is the first of a big crop getting bigger forecast from USDA?
I tend to view these forecasts as sort of like our best guess as of now. I mean, I think if we see amazing weather, this crop could get bigger, but that 225 number for Illinois, for example, is just so big. It's hard to imagine, you know, I think that's a pretty good estimate of where we think this thing is going to end up eventually. So I tend not to sort of view this as like a leading indicator so much as this is our best guess as of right now.
And what, if anything, do farmers need to do?
I think you've got to look very carefully at, you know, the bushels you've already got marketed. I think those hopefully have been marketed at, you know, higher values than we're seeing today. And then really thinking about when and what are the conditions that are going to get you to move this crop. I'm looking at, there's now, especially in the soybean market, a really sort of relatively healthy carry. I think about 32 cents per bushel between the November futures price and the March futures price. That's maybe an opportunity to think about kind of capturing some of that carry. If you're going to sit and store soybeans after harvest, that kind of offers you some indication of what the returns might be to doing that. And then recognizing that, you know, some of those values that we saw back in the spring are unlikely to come back given the size of the U.S. crop.
Thank you much, Joe.
Thank you.
Joe Janssen is an agricultural economist on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. If you'd like to see some of the numbers as they were reported out from USDA earlier today, you can do that under the USDA tab on our homepage. Look for it at willag.org, willag.org. Let's check the weather forecast now with Mark Russo. He is at Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thank you for being with us. Let's get right into this. Of course, the United States Department of Agriculture adjusting their yields and acreage a bit today. The yield was the big thing, both of corn and soybeans at record-setting levels. Here in Illinois, USDA put the statewide yield at 225 bushels to the acre. The record is 214, so that blows it out of the water. If the weather were to stay good in the state of Illinois for the remaining of the growing season, I suppose. What do we think, not about the remaining of the growing season, but at least, I don't know, the end of the month of August?
Well, Todd, over the next few weeks, it looks like the favorable weather pattern will continue. We're just not seeing any sign of extreme heat moving into the Midwest. Also, rainfall will be pretty close to normal, maybe a few areas slightly below normal. But all in all, no sign of any real threatening weather through month's end or even into the first few days of September. And really going forward here, the only thing that could, well, I shouldn't say only thing, but kind of two items that if there's going to be any significant changes, it could come from the tropics. And if you get an extremely heavy rain event or even, you know, some remnant winds in areas of the Midwest, that could be problematic. Or if there's any kind of very early freeze, then that could be problematic as well. But even, you know, nothing like that is expected either here, at least looking out into first few days of September.
Let's talk about some trouble spots on the planet. Black Sea, Ukraine area, Russia has had issues all growing season long. Do they continue?
It does look like it continues. In fact, there's ridging of high pressure building not only across the Black Sea region, but across much of southern and central Europe in general, and some of the hottest temperatures will be by a south in southern Europe and the areas that already have been hit hard in the Balkan countries and then parts of southern Ukraine and southern Russia. So they're going to continue to go downhill and, yeah, pretty much too late for any kind of turnaround in the situation there.
And while it is early to talk about South America, not terribly so, because I think planting season in Brazil will begin on September 1. What do we know about that continent from the southern tip all the way to the northern edges of Brazil?
Well, Todd, in South America, the main item of note is the very low soil moisture across actually much of Brazil and Argentina. The real exception is southern Brazil and Rio Grande do Sul, which has been hit by the heavy rainfall and you know, flooding here in recent months. But the rest of Brazil has low soil moisture and even Argentina as well. So that's something to watch. Granted, it is the dry season right now, but even this past winter has been unusually dry. It's also been warmer than normal in Brazil. So they're going to need a timely start to the rainy season across Brazil. And we'll also need some timely rains here over the next 6 to 8 weeks. As we start to turn to the start of the new planting season in Argentina.
Which of those growing areas are you most concerned about? And I don't know that you're very concerned about any of them just yet, but which ones are you watching most closely for the growing season?
Well, put right now, areas of center west Brazil, again, some of the driest conditions for this time of year. And there's not going to be any improvement until the start of the rainy season. But also Argentina, and as we move into this La Nina event over the next several months and beyond, that also poses a risk to dryness, you know, down the road in Argentina. So those are, you know, two areas of note here that, you know, kind of watching.
How much difference is there between, for instance, the center west and the Midwest as it relates to, and I know there's a big difference in where they are on the planet in terms of from the equator. However, in terms of the arrival of spring here, oftentimes as we go through a very dry fall, many people get worried. They remain worried, though most of the meteorologists will say, look, when we change seasons, things really can change pretty quickly. Is that more the case as you get closer to the equator or less the case?
That is, yeah, more of the case, especially for Brazil, center west Brazil, where you do have, you know, distinct dry and a rainy season. And so as we get into September, especially mid to late September, that's typically once rains begin advancing from the Amazon River basin into areas such as Mato Grosso. And so, that's the time frame when a bit more consistent daily rains or more substantial rains can begin developing across the region. And again, more of kind of the monsoon climate, some ways kind of more typical of like India versus the mid-latitude ag belts like the Midwest.
We will depend on you to let us know when it does or does not happen. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics, joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois, public medium. It is public radio for the farming world. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason, my brother. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.